Oh, glory to God. We want to make welcome everyone in the Lord's name. We make welcome everyone in the Lord's name. Please, if you have not shared this broadcast, go ahead and do so right now. Do so right now. Right? We want to get into God's word. And we are sure that the Lord is going to speak with us with simplicity. And His grace is going to be manifold in our midst. Alright, go ahead and share as we are about to begin God's word. We know we have been doing several installments under the caption Prophetic Dominion. Alright, so and the Lord has been unveiling Himself to us in several dimensions, layers upon layers. The Lord has been equipping us with the knowledge of His ontology, the knowledge of His reality unto us in this end time, especially as it pertains to our prophetic dominance, as it pertains to the tools, the capacity, the tidbits of dominance. All right, so because the Lord spoke to us this year is going to be our year of dominion, all right, so it's also important that we begin to explicate the reality of dominion and we bring people into that economy, okay, so that your understanding can be fruitful, okay, so that our understanding can be enlightened. That was a prayer Brother Paul began to pray for the church in Ephesus. He says that since I heard about your dexterity, your tenacity, he says, I do not cease to mention you in my prayer, keeping you in my prayers all the time, that the Lord will keep you with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling. Alright? So, what we are doing in this day and time is to enlighten our eyes of understanding so that our functionality can be fruitful and not futile. Okay? So that our understanding, our capacity, our expression, okay, can become functional so that out of us there will be an emergence of intelligence in the spirit. There will be an emergence of capacity in the spirit so that we will not be extraneous or will not be alien or foreign to that which the Lord has in stock for us. Because unfortunately, many persons are in the church, but they are not exposed to their dominance in the spirit. They are not weaved with the knowledge of Christ to the point that they can begin to latch on the tools by which they can find expression in time. Alright, so it's important we open our eyes to understand the word of God, to understand the possibilities of the spirit, so that we can become a people, oh man, so that we can become a people of functionality. Alright, are we together, please? Sorry, a call just came in. So I'm sorry about that. Are we together? Let me know if you are. Okay? Okay, thank you. So, tonight, we are looking at... Oh, please, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to this meeting. And I trust the Holy Ghost to enlighten us. So we are looking at the ordinance of heavenly bodies. The ordinance of heavenly bodies. The ordinance or the ordinances of heavenly bodies. I know that, you know, we are not, one of the things that I say consistently is that we do not move because the world is moving. We do not teach because people are teaching. No. We respond to the voice of the Spirit. And I'm sure that many people will be amazed that our own kind of caption is always different. that is not the conventional caption like this and that. All right, don't worry. You see, many of our captions, they are, when I begin to open scriptures for you, you will see that it's because a lot of persons do not do proper study of scriptures. Many of these things, we see them plain and clear in God's word. We see them, okay? But people do not pay attention, all right? And they don't stay tuned and focus on God's word. I remember, okay, I just want to say something, okay? I remember when we began, you know, some people, because that word menorah was not common in the landscape, you know, some people are wondering what is menorah. Hallelujah. But this thing is all over scriptures. From the old covenant into the new, we see the reality of menorah. We see the reality of the lampstand. You know, one issue we have in our day is that if you are not used to a vocabulary as a student, what best will you do? You are going to consult the dictionary to know what is the meaning of excuses, as if we are using that word, excuses, and you are not used to it. The best to do is that you consult a search facility like Google or dictionary to unlock that onto you. In the same vein, there are things that if you don't understand spiritually, we have the search engine, we have the Holy Ghost. It might not be your own kind of style. You know, that's the issue we have in the body of Christ, that if somebody is not following your trend, your style, the person is not consistent with God, because it is your own kind of ministry that prevails. Are we together? So that's why we have sectionalism everywhere now. We have people who cannot relate with another because they are not following their own kind of pattern. And of course, you should know that there's only one pattern that you have. It's not your ministry that's the pattern. Our pattern is who? It's Jesus. Okay? So we must not be patterned after a man. We must be patterned after Christ. We must be patterned after Jesus. Okay? So everybody might not accept you in the landscape, but if Jesus accepts you, I'm telling you that you are going to represent him fully. Is it clear to us? Alright? So, I'm trying to open our eyes to some kind of things that plays out in the body of Christ, to me, is appalling. When we begin to check, and this is the same thing that is consistent with the Corinthians church. You see, many of the things that we see in the now, they are not strange, they are not alien. They didn't just begin now. Some of the revelations that are, or some of the movements that are going on now, is just like a cyclical reality or a recycled reality. Because many of them, for many years, were dead. But some people came again and they began to resuscitate them. So that's why Solomon said, he says there's nothing new under the earth in its context. Yes, he's right. So we see that this was consistent with the Corinthian church, because amidst them is what we call division. Brother Paul began to bring clearance to that abnormality. Because some of them says we are for Apollos, some said we are for Cephas, and others says that we are for Paul. Paul said, is Christ divided? Is Christ? You see, you know what? I'm having to address this because it's a burden in my heart, and the Lord has been speaking to me about it. Is consistent. That's why you have people who cannot share other ministries' material. All right? Of course, we know that we have some kind of foundations, all right, denominationally. Okay, I understand that aspect, but the aspect of rigidity is what is not consistent with the Christ, and that's what Brother Paul was balancing. I says, is Christ divided? If you say you are for Apollos, and I am for Paul, and I am for Cephas, then where's the place of Christ in the body? That's why when we actually get back to heaven, the place of judgment, you will see that many persons who claim that they have ranking and stature, they will receive correct judgment. That's why even the body of Christ, the Bible says that judgment will begin in the church, because all our works will be tested by fire. So it's not only those who go to hell that will receive judgment. Alright? Even those of us who are in the Christ. Because the Lord will begin to vet every glimpse in our heart. He will begin to vet them. Some, their own. Alright, don't let me say it the way I've been taught. Okay? Because these are the things that the Lord will begin to speak to me about. Sometimes, I don't want to do social media thing and begin to share some things. Because when we begin to share, people will think that you are addressing them, not knowing that you are addressing what the Lord has told you. Alright? So because people now see that maybe you are growing small, small. Say, he has started talking against people at his level. So that's why in wisdom I decided to shut down some things, even some media, some social media handles. Hallelujah. Because if I begin to say it the way the Lord has spoken to me, I have a lot written down. You see, many persons will be guilty. And please, everyone listen to me, hear my word and hear clearly. Because I want to announce the verdict of God, that all our works will be tested. And it's not by the outward works. Because the very first place that God judges is your heart. You can do something contrary to your heart. Are you following me? Alright, let me get into God's word. Let me just teach our meeting today. But I believe that has blessed us. It's just one of the burden of the Spirit. It's one of the burden of God in this time. And because of that discussion, there were things that that Paul couldn't tell them. Because Paul termed them carnal. He told them that ye are yet carnal. So there are some level of speakings of God that Paul could not utter to the Corinthians church because of carnality, because of that kind of disposition, that kind of disparity that is going on in the church, that is going on everywhere. So it's a new day for many persons to come to the place of repentance, because some people will think they are fighting for God. They will think that they have the autonomy, the authority to talk down others. And some, on the basis of ill discernment, they will think that they are discerning, not knowing that it's only suspicion. Because discernment is different from suspicion. Alright? People think, when I'm suspecting this brother, I'm discerning. No, that's wrong. That's not scriptural. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, let's get into God's word. So we are looking at the ordinances of the heavenly bodies. So we are going to begin from the book of the beginning. The language of ordinances is the language of law, the language of constitution. The language of ordinances is the language of constitution, the language of all. The language of law, decree, verdict, is a language of What else can I use? Precept. Yeah, thank you. Precept. Okay? So let's pay attention to tonight's meeting. It's going to bless us. Okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 1. Okay, before we look at Genesis chapter 1, let me show you where this topic came from. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. I'm gonna do verse 35. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Alright, so we can see the ordinances, the ordinances of the heavenly bodies. When we talk about the heavenly bodies, they are referring to the luminaries in the heavens. Okay? It's referring to the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we have seen that captured in Jeremiah 31. Okay? But we will not have proper understanding of this reality unless we begin to visit the book of the beginning. Because there's what they call the law of first mention. Alright? So, we are going to look at the law of first mention. And where that was mentioned is from the book of the beginning. Hallelujah. Okay? So let's flip our Bibles quickly to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis 1. And we're beginning from verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Verse 15. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Alright? So this is creation project. And in this enterprise that God began to build, we saw that in Genesis 1 and verse 3, the Bible talks about a light. It says, and God said, let there be light. And there was And there was light, okay? Alright, and there was light, okay? Now, we saw God move ahead and began to create other luminaries in the persons, alright? Or in the place, or in the stead of the sun, the moon, and the stars. So when we talk about heavenly bodies, so we are referring to these bodies, all right? Now, so that we could be clear, is that when the Bible talks about heaven and all, it's not altogether referring to the heavens of God. So we must be clear. For example, when the Bible talks about that Elijah was caught up into heaven, it was not referring to heaven, the heavens of God, because nobody could have gone to heaven without an access, and that access is Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So nobody could have arrived in that place that Jesus prepared without Jesus giving him the access point. And because Jesus hadn't come in the old, all right, literally, and for him to die and resurrect in order to give people access. So there was no way anybody in the old could have gone to heaven ahead of Jesus. That would be an anomaly, right? So there was no way Elijah could have gone to the third heaven where God resides, as it were, okay? And Enoch, do you understand it? So when you begin to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you will see that the writer of Hebrews captured the fact that every one of them died. Alright? Every one of them died, including Elijah, including Enoch. The Bible says that they died. Okay? So, if you hear the word, he was caught into the heavens, it's not referring to the heavens of God. Okay? Because, spiritually, there's the atmospheric heaven, there's the second heaven, there is the third heaven. Okay? At least what scriptures captured for us. Alright, we know that some people, you know, there are a lot of postulations and theories everywhere. But what the Bible says is that Brother Paul even told us that I know a man who was caught up in the third heaven. That's all we know. So for us in the Bible, that's what we know. Okay? So when we talk about that heaven, we are referring to these heavenly bodies. The sun, the moon, and the stars. And in creation project, when God created everything, creation was good. That's what the writer captured for us, Moses. He says that, and God saw that it was good. If you read this passage of scripture very carefully, you will discover that all that God created, we were told that they were good. But something happened when Adam fell. Creation was perverted. Okay? And when this creation were perverted, something happened. The creation that was good became double correspondent. And when I say double correspondent, I'm saying to you that the creation became good and bad. So it became double. There is the goodly expression and there's the badly expression on the basis of the perversion that happened through the insurrection, okay, of Adam. The moment Adam insurrected, what happened is that Adam added another layer to creation, and that layer was captured in evil expressions, so that if God created lion as good, lion now has other side of bad. Are you following me? Just follow me carefully. Because this is going to, you are going to understand what I want to teach when I am able to communicate this reality well. Okay? So, when God created lion, the original intent was not for lion to devour. Okay? Because what the Bible says that lion was good. All that God created was good. But on the basis of the disobedience of the first man introduced another layer of evil into the earth. That's what the Bible says. Because Romans chapter 5 told us that through one man, sin entered into the world. It never says through one angel. Are you following me? It says through one man. as long as this earth is concerned, it was through a man. It was not through the devil. Because we don't balance that area. What the Bible says is that the way sin got entrance into this earthly configuration is through a man. Romans didn't capture the devil at all. The devil played his part, but it was a man who became the sewer or the pipe through which evil infiltrated this world, through which sin entered, through which death entered, through which disease entered, through which what all manner of evil realities pervaded this environment. It was through the man. Okay? So, and because you will understand this very carefully, when you know that the creations were actually tied to Adam. So, that's why when the devil fell, because the angelic forces were not tied to him, not all angels were corrupted. Are you following me? Are you with me? So, not all angels were corrupted. The only ones that were corrupted were those that were in his cluster. Alright? So the Bible said that he drew with his tail one third of the heavenly angels. Okay? Now, those were those in his own office, in his own cluster, because he is a cherub. Alright? And cherub, they have angelic beings under them. They are like the principality over angelic beings. The same way that Gabriel has angelic being that submit to his authority and he submits to God, and they all together submit to God. The same way that Michael also has beings who are submitted to him. Alright? Because there are some kind of angelic beings that cannot make advance towards where God is at all, because of their stature, because of their level. But some, because of stature and level, they hang around the throne. Alright? And when I talk about the throne, it's not that their proximity is not even as near as we think, but yet they have stature in God because of their capacity. That's why we have the cherubim and we have the seraphim. We have the four winged angels and the six winged angels, because of their capacity in the spirit, because of their stature. So, other angels are submissive to them. So, when the devil fell, it was not all angelic beings that fell, but when Adam fell, all that God created in time fell alongside. All, including animals, including vegetation, including elements, everything fell because Adam fell. So it's a distortion of creation. On the basis of Adam's sin, the creation was distorted. But sir, are we together, please? Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you for paying attention. All right. So when Adam fell, the entirety of creation fell. And originally, creation, or let me say this, that nature was the clothing of divine ideas. Nature was the clothing of divine ideas. Nature. That's why, are we together? That's why, even in their pervasive existence, even in this distortion, nature is still revealing the dimensions of God. Okay? Because nature has now become either good or evil based on the person handling it. You see, the same way that money is evil in a thief's hand, but money is good in a pastor's hand. But it's the same money. You see, on the basis of Adamic fall, the creation became, as it were, neutral. What you put into it will determine the outcome. So, that's why if you sow the seed of evil, you will reap evil. That's why the Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever, you will reap. Either good or bad. As long as you are sowing, definitely you are expecting the day of harvest. Alright? So, I just did that to explain to us what I'm about to teach, so that we can have a proper understanding. So, the Bible says what, that on the fourth day, the Lord created the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And why the Lord created that? The Lord said to us that these heavenly bodies are meant for, number one, light. Number two is that they determine the times, the seasons, the days, the years. All right? Number three is that this nature or these bodies, they also have their level of dominance. Because the Bible said that they were created to rule. Alright? So, we have been able to see three things from this world. Number one is that they give light. Number two, and that talks about embellishment. It talks about adornment, decoration. Because this world would have been terrible, or would have been, you know, the same way that in Genesis 1 and verse 2, the Bible says to us that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the sea, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters, right? And God said, let there be light. The same way that the earth was void and formless, alright, if the Lord hadn't introduced these heavenly luminaries, these bodies, the earth would have been a place where you cannot factor the possibilities of God. Yes, the earth would have been a place of distortion. The earth, you can imagine that where we are right now, that there's no ambience, no light, nothing. Nobody, we do not have access to sight. We can't gaze into each other because the place is full of darkness. The place is not accommodating light. Okay? And on that basis, there are things that will not be able to function in maximally because there is no ambience. So, the Lord introduced you see, that's why people who are doing decoration and all, they pick their bearing from that essence, from that reality. Okay? Because by the Lord introducing this, it's not just to understand times and seasons and years and what have you. It's also for the purpose of adornment, the purpose of embellishment, the purpose of decoration. So that the earth can become an haven where you can live in. It can become habitable. For example, If you go outside at night, all right, you will see the beautification of this landscape because of the colossal stars in heaven. You will discover that there's a kind of beauty and aesthetics that they wield on earth. Is that true? They release a beauty. So, it's not just for a marker. Alright? It's not just for marking times, seasons, days, years. Alright? Because if you continue our Bible study, you begin to see that beyond just marking times, days, and years, you see other things that these heavenly bodies were used for. Alright? Are we together? Alright, thank you. So, the Bible says to us that number one, it is to give light. Number two, to mark times, days, years, and seasons. Number three, it also talks about rulership, that they will rule. Okay? I'm going somewhere. I will try to wrap up today so that we can get into other things. Alright? I'll try to wrap up today. So, they also bear rules. Alright? So, when we talk about times, seasons, days, and years, what are we referring to? Because before the Gregorian calendar, there were markers with which they understood seasons. There were markers with which they understood times. Many of them in the antiquity, when I talk about antiquity, I'm talking about in the ancient times. Many of them never had access to calendar. They never had access to wall clock. They never had access to many of these things. And yet, they were able to mark times. They were able to mark season. They, for example, in the ancient Israel, they know when to celebrate new moon. Even though all of those ones in Christ has been annihilated, because Colossians told us that let no man judge you in meat, in drink, or in Sabbath, or in the celebration of new moon. Let no man, because they have been totally obliterated in Christ. Okay? But I want to show you that in the antiquity, they were using this reality, these heavenly bodies, to understand, to decipher, to discern the seasons that they were in. They, on the basis of these heavenly bodies, they could pick seasons. They could understand the timelines of heaven. They could understand the speakings of God. Are we together? Because these heavenly bodies that you see, I'm trying to open your eyes to all that they use it for in the antiquity. Okay? These heavenly bodies, on the basis of your understanding, you could pick when to sow and when not to sow. That's why Jesus told them in Matthew 16. He says, you could pick the weather condition. You know when rain will fall and when rain will not fall. But Jesus said, how come you cannot pick the signs of time? How come you cannot understand? You cannot discern? So, it means that Jesus was speaking to them on the basis of their knowledge. That you know how to pick this, how to read this, how to read that. How come that you cannot discern the times of the Spirit? How come? Because these things are supposed to bring us to a place of discernment. They are supposed to bring us to a place of maturity. So much so that we will understand the movement of God. We will understand the speakings of God. Okay? I'm not saying the speakings of God in stars or in what? Of course, because the Lord expresses his dimensions in nature. That's the simple truth. is captured in the new covenant. He expresses his dimension in nature. In fact, these heavenly bodies that I'm talking about, they are actually broadcasters. These heavenly bodies, they are actually they are satellites that speaks. Because the Bible says in Psalms 19, the heavens declares the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. So listen, when I teach you something, I will tell you the scripture for it. Day unto day utter speech. That means every day that there's new dawn and you enter dusk and there's a sunrise and sunset, they are actually a voice in the spirit. They are uttering the reality of God. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices are not heard. What are we saying? What is he trying to say? He says that there's no speech nor language where their voices are not heard. What is he saying? Because we must understand that some people will come at the end of days in the time of judgment that will say, we were not there when Jesus came. We were not there. So you can't judge us unjustly. The Lord will refer them to nature. Are you with me? The Lord will refer them to what? To nature. Because nature spoke, they didn't respond. When you see nature, your instinct will tell you that somebody is behind this creation. Alright? Now, they told us that they fabricated a plague, alright, in the laboratory. That's what we heard, right? Now, the plague wouldn't have come if there's no fabrication. That means behind the plague are the fabricators. So you don't just look at the plague and ignore the fabricators. So you cannot look at nature and ignore the source. So when the time of judgment comes, you don't have any option. That's why Romans said that, so that nobody will be without excuse. So there's no excuse to say that when Jesus came, I was not available. Or before Jesus came, I had died. So I didn't know about any God, that God exists anywhere. He will refer them back to nature. Romans chapter 1. Alright, because of those who have not been following our teaching, I've talked about it before. But so that every one of us will see it from scriptures. Romans chapter 1. Are we together, please? Are we following? Okay. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, Romans 1. Hallelujah. So let's do Romans 1. And we are going to begin from verse... because of time. Okay, let's read from verse 15. From verse 18, sorry. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Hello, sir. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Okay? For God hath shewed it unto them. So, how did God show himself unto them? And mind you, he says that the wrath of God is against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So there are beings that pervert truth. They know the truth, but they hold them in unrighteousness. That even though it's the truth, we are going to hold them in unrighteousness. Though we know it's the truth. But in our own eyes, it is convertible. So such kind of people will tell you that pornography does not matter. They tell you that, they tell you that masturbation does not matter. It's just a way of expressing your sexual urge. The Bible says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. But yet the Bible says was that God manifested himself in them by showing himself unto them. So how did God show himself unto them? Let's see. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him there is talking about God. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The Bible says something is invisible, and yet it told us that they are clearly seen. Is that not contradiction? Because you told us that this thing is invisible, but you are saying to us that it is seen, clearly seen. So if it is invisible, how then is it clearly seen? Are we seeing that together? He says that for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Those are two contradictory statements. He says invisible, and he also says they are clearly seen. How come? And remember the time I talked about this, I said the fact that you cannot see a microorganism with your optical eyes does not mean that the microorganism is inexistent. Alright? It does not mean that it's not existing. But when you apply an external force, it will make that those microorganisms visible. That means if you apply a microscopic object, those invisible entities will become so glaring and so visible that you can begin to see them. So what the Bible says to us here is that although the creation in themselves, sometimes as it were, you know, creation does not speak like us. They don't utter voices like us. Alright? But there is a facility in them that speaks, that makes God visible. So that was what I was explaining the other time. There's something in them that reveals the art, that reveals the brilliance, that reveals the effulgence of the Creator. Have you traveled before that you're just traveling and you see vegetation and you see forests, several kinds of designs, aesthetics everywhere, and you begin to wonder. Sometimes when I'm moving, especially, you know, in the north, you begin to see a lot of things on the road. When I say Kai, sometimes you will see some kind of trees that their design is like a bean. Is that true? You see some kind of trees, and the beauty behind it is plufic. It's amazing. And you begin to wonder that somebody must have, for example, you know, there are people, there are horticulturists, alright, who does the work of clearing. Alright? Now, if a garden is unkept, right, and this garden, you walk by it day and night, and you notice that this garden is unkept, and suddenly you went to that same route the following week and you noticed that this garden used to be unkept, but right now the garden is showing some kind of beautification. What comes to your mind next? Is it that the garden repaired itself or beautified itself? So there's somebody behind the beautification. There's somebody behind that aesthetics. So that's the same way that creation is uttering its voice, that somebody fashioned me, that somebody formed me. And listen to me, everyone, either born again or not, every time you walk, every time you look to the handworks of God, there's something that witnessed to you on your inside that somebody is behind this intelligence. Even atheists, if we bring atheists here now and you tell them that we should discuss, they will tell you that they know that there's something behind it, that this is not just, it's not normal. There's a beauty behind it. Alright? So the Bible says, well, that the invisible things of this world, or the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, they are clearly seen. How are they clearly seen? Let's see. Wow. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. Please, let's underline that word. If you have your Bible, let's underline that word. Being understood. That means the way creation witnesses to you is by understanding. So the voice of creation is understanding. You will just come to the place of understanding. It says to us that being understood, okay, being understood by the things that are made. What are the things that are made? We are looking at the heavenly bodies, the firmament. We are looking at the vegetation. We are looking at nature, elements. Alright? So it says to us that understanding is precipitated on the basis of what God made. So when you begin to gaze at what God made, an intelligence dawns on you that there's a supreme being behind this expression, that there's a supreme entity behind this fabrication, that this couldn't have been done without an intelligence behind this operation, behind this expression. So it means to us that the entirety of creation is a clothing of divine intelligence. The entirety of creation is a clothing of divine intelligence. There's an intelligence that sponsors the reality of creation. So it means that this intelligence, because the Bible spoke to us that when man was created, and notice that before man came into the scene, all the other drama already happened. All creation were in place. And mind you, the Bible says to us that even some of these heavenly bodies, that they have been given a level of dominance, a level of hegemony. Right? And so when man was created, an higher level of dominion was placed on that man. That even though, why am I running out of my ahead of myself? Don't let me run. Can we build it gradually? Okay. Let's build it gradually. The point is, even though they have a level of dominion, God placed man ahead of all creation. I wish every one of us in Christ will understand the enormity, will understand the colossal investment of God tattooed in us. If we begin to understand this enormous dimension of spirit intelligence that the Lord locked up in the man in Christ, then we begin to find our place in the kingdom. And I want to say to you that if this kind of teachings does not go on in the church, we are going to present babes. Babes with constant diaper. They won't arise beyond the level of, I want to do 5 minutes devotion. You know, I said to us the other time, that is it as good as routine as is. Okay? Many persons have turned routine to religion. Routine is important in our spiritual journey. But the way many persons have turned it now is no longer effective. Because when we begin to talk about the reality of routine, morning devotion, or quiet time, the ways our father did it is not what we are seeing now. Is that true, sir? You will see some of them doing their routinal quiet time. And in that place, they have gone. They would have gained ascendancy. By the time they are returning with spirit intelligence. Not our own kind of quiet time that after you are done, you go into the day, the next thing they see you doing is making abuses. The person who just observed quiet time is the next person you are seeing on the landscape in wallowing in quagmire of carnality. When we understand the power of routine, the power of quiet time, the power of prayers, the power of spiritual intelligence, don't let me run ahead of myself. Are we together? So, when we teach people routine, okay, we need to teach them well. So that people can understand that it's not just a mere observance. So, you see people now that it's in the bedroom. So they will just wash body. Like this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for today. I give you all the glory. Glory to Jesus. And after that time, that's all. The next time they pray, are you mean? Is at night. It's because we have only taught them that your quiet time is in a quiet environment. Alright? We have not taught them how to mobilize their quiet time. You have not taught them how that the secret place can become mobility. That the secret place can become that you carry everywhere you go. As much as separation and quarantining is important, okay? We must also understand that we can bring that place into our place. It can become our atmosphere. It can become our realm, our region, where we operate from constantly. That's why when they come to ask you for intelligence, you don't wait only until you go back there to receive intelligence. That at the spot, you can say, "Thus saith the Spirit of the living God." It is that spiritual maturity. It means you are gaining quantum leaps in the spirit. The very first time the king had a dream, Daniel, because of his lowly stature, he said to the king, "Just give us a time, alright? Give us some time." The Bible said they went to pray with his brethren and he came back with the report. But the next time that the handwriting wrote on the wall, Daniel didn't go back to go and pray. At the spot, Daniel began to interpret Mene Mene Tekel Upharsin. That means his stature had changed. That means he had advanced. That means he had gained quantum leaps. That means he had gained a level of giant strength in the spirit, so that he could stand as an entity and begin to wield the possibility of God on the basis of his fraternity with the Spirit, on the basis of his ascension, on the basis of his culture, the prayer culture. Because one of the things that we see over the life of Daniel is that he maintained prayer integrity. One of the things that we see about Daniel is that he maintained prayer integrity, my God. Are you me? I will do it in 7 days. Alright? He maintained what? Prayer. When a decree went out that nobody should pray, Daniel refuted. There are some kind of holy disobediences.
Is that true? Because that one favors the Lord. They said, just like they said, there's lockdown and nobody should pray. I wouldn't obey it. In my own house, I shouldn't pray. Is it because the Bible said that we should submit, we should submit to authority? So the authority will hold my mouth. I said, don't pray. If the authority is eating with the same mouth, I will pray with the same mouth. If you cannot stop people from eating, then don't stop them from prayers.
Is that true?
So pray. Daniel, the Bible says he will open the window to Jerusalem and will begin to raise incense. That's integrity in the spirit. People don't understand. Integrity is not just saying that there is what they call spiritual integrity. And it cuts across all fronts. It cuts across your studious life, your prayer life. You see, there's a way that God weighs integrity. He weighs the rain of your heart. That's one of the songs that Anna sung in 1 Samuel chapter 3. That was her song. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says that being understood by the things that are made, even is eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that God will become justified and is the justifier. He is justified and is the justifier. Hallelujah. Okay? So, these heavenly bodies, the Bible began to explain to us that they are time markers. They are seasonal markers. They are days markers. Alright? They are years markers. Okay? So, and I said to us that these entities, they are for broadcasting the realities of God. They are satellites that broadcast the realities of God. Listen, if God wants to speak globally, globally, God will not visit Al Jazeera. He will not visit BBC. There are things that God visits. And those things are what, that's why the Son speaks globally. Are you with me? The same Son in Nigeria is the same Son in Afghanistan. Just one centralized Son. And it has effect globally. Millions of stellars, constellations, they have effect globally. The moon has effect globally. Listen to me. Even God, when God was to be born, God announced himself in the stars. Because he wants people to know. So can I tell you something? These heavenly bodies that we are looking at, they have their influence in the birth of Jesus, in the death of Jesus, and in the second coming of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, from verse 1 and 2, the Bible told us about the stars, about the magis. Alright? That these magis, that they saw the star from the east, and they began to trace it. As they were tracing it, there was a place the star stood. The moment the star stood there, they knew that this is the house of the king that was born. So they entered and said, where is the newborn king that wants to pay homage to it? To him. Alright? When Jesus died, are we together? When Jesus died, because of people, let's open Bible. Let's open Bible. Let me confirm if they are still with us. Okay, God bless you. God bless everybody. God bless you. Let's do Matthew 24. No, that's the second coming of Jesus.
Okay.
Okay, let's do that one first. No problem. It's just for us to understand. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We are going to begin from verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Can you see this broadcast message? The Lord put the message of the second coming of Christ in the heavenly bodies so that you will know that He is coming. So the very first thing that you will see is that the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give a light. The stars of heaven, they shall fall. Every time you begin to see that, you should know that He has come. Are you with me? That one is not a prophet that will speak that one. Because it says the day no man knows, but the nature knows. Are you with me? He packed that mystery in nature. That you who say you are a major prophet, you cannot discern that day. You say you are a major, you cannot discern that day. But there's something that we discern, that when you see the stars, that they don't give their light again. When you see the moons, that the light is gone. The sun, that is not giving light. Know that the sun is coming. That's why the Bible says, the sun of righteousness we arise with healings in His wings. So even Jesus was called the Son. Not S-O-N, but S-U-N. Jesus. Are you following me? I like this generation to understand that God is deep and there are mysteries in God's world. We need to search. We need to understand the speakings of God. Listen to me. Listen. When the Bible says that God spoke to them in the Old Testament with diverse kind of speakings, right? Hebrews 1:1, that God speaks in certain times, right? Alright? But now He's speaking through the Son. Alright? It's not that God is not still speaking through the prophets. And it's not that God is not still speaking through nature. But it's that the Son is the supreme voice over all. Are you with me? So that's what it's saying. The Son, nature is still uttering the voice of God. The day unto day, utter speech. Day unto day. Listen to me. So when you see eclipses, they are a sign of the verdict in the spiritual realm. They are not normal. When you see earthquakes, they are a sign. When you see tornadoes, tsunami, they are a sign. Are we together? So in Revelations 9, the Bible began to talk to us about some beings with crown upon their heads, and they released a plague. Alright? And I was teaching us one time that the word crown is the word corona. The word crown is like the Latin word for what? For corona. So if you read a Latin Bible, what they would have told you is that there are beings with corona on their head. And these beings, they release a plague. So does that mean that God had prophesied the plague, but in a coded language? Because we do not know. is a time we are going to do very soon, appointed times and discernment. It's a time for us to begin right and understand spiritual movement and understand how God releases his sound, how God releases his voice. Okay? Because many of the speakers of God, they are in symbols. Many of the speakers of God, they are in signs, in codes. Thank you. So a lot of persons are praying and they are saying, God has not spoken to me. It's because you don't know. There's a way he has revealed his voice, but you don't discern, you don't have understanding. When understanding breathes upon you, you begin to understand and decipher the speakings of the Spirit unto you in diverse manners. Many of us, we are accustomed to a part, a dimension of the speakings of God. God is introducing us to an higher level in the Spirit that we can capture his reality. Oh, glory to God. So, in the death of Jesus, we also saw that the Bible says to us that for the space of 3 hours, there was utter darkness. Utter darkness. So, we saw these heavenly bodies played a role in the birth, the death, and the coming back of Jesus. What does that suggest to us?
Let me see. Okay, let's do Luke 23, so that we can understand. I want us to understand. That's why I'm showing us scriptures. Luke 23:44. Luke 23:44.
And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the night hour. That's 3 hours. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. The very first thing that we saw is that the sun was darkened. The sun was darkened. That's the death of Jesus. So how come that these guys, these heavenly bodies, they played a role in the birth, the death, and the coming back of Jesus? See, these heavenly bodies, they are not just for times, okay? For days, for years, and for seasons. They are not just for. That means they are for, alright? But when we begin to dig deep into scriptures, you begin to see other functionality as played out in scriptures. Now, we've been able to see that God put it in place to reveal to us the time that the Son will come. He put the heavenly bodies in place to reveal to us that when the Son dies, it will still speak. And that when he's coming back, you can see that all of creation are testaments to Christ. So that's why the entirety of God's world is a testament to Jesus. You can see how that we are revealing Jesus in creation. That God, by wisdom, introduced his Son into time on the basis of the star in the constellation. That when the Son died, he also revealed to us
the sun.
So it says what? That immediately the sun was darkened. And the Bible calls towards Jesus in Malachi 4, the sun of righteousness. And when the sun died on the cross, we saw that the sun was darkened. See, there are things I don't want to say. Alright? Are you with me? Amen. I know that for those who are following this teaching, there are things that are breaking on your inside. Because it's going to push you to deeper dimension of God's world. That we want to study the world. That's why when the Magi, when they spoke, they told us that his star is, we have seen his star. The word star there was mentioned twice. One was his star. The other one was the star. They are using definite article for star, the star. And they said his star. No. By your wisdom, oh God, heaven's gate open up. With understanding, you order the season. By your wisdom, oh God, heaven's gate open up. With understanding, you order the season. Creating day and night, turning darkness into light. Arranging the stars to your pleasing. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose world brings on the evening. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening. Baruch Adonai, Hallelujah, Elulam Vaeh. Baruch Adonai, Elolam Vaeh. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the Bible says for us that God made man the authority over all that he created. Man, he made us authority. So the man in Christ, the moment you gain admissibility into that economy, all right, it began to unfold towards a reality that you are co-opted into, and that's the reality of your dominance over what he created. So he created creations before man came into being, so that creations were made prepared. Are you following me? Just like before you eat, you will have to prepare the food, right? Or somebody prepares the food and you are just seated. Do you know that all you are waiting for is for this food to be ready, and your own responsibility is to consume it? So God created all things for the purpose of man, so that when man was created, God now told him that you have authority over creations. I wish believers will understand. These things are my own meditative adventure. That the kind of investment of God over us. I wish we understand. By the time you begin to engage more and more in meditating over these things, you will see an expanse open before you. You will see eternity open before you. And I don't know how best to use it. Your hunger will become insatiable. That I am beyond this. If creation knows that they are beyond this, how much more you and I? Or you are not aware that creations are groaning. The groaning there means that they know that I am beyond this. Something is wrong. The reason why you are still sick in your body is because you are also groaning. Because the original template is not that you will be sick. It's that you will live perpetually in health. That's why it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be health, even as thy soul prospers. So your groan is because something has shifted. That's not the original enterprise of heaven. So creation too, they are waiting for the redemption of their body. They are waiting to be restored to their original template, to the original ordination. So the man in Christ is a being that creations are tied to. When we say creations, I'm not just referring to beings, humans. I'm referring to all that God created. See, when we begin to see the beauty of who we are and the beauty of nature, you see that, the fall did us strengthen. The fall did us what? Strengthen. Hallelujah. Let me sing. There's a song comes to my soul.
Everywhere I go, I see you right there. In the beauty of nature, you shine all around. For you are everything, and everything is you. Precious Jesus, you're wonderful, wonder you are. Everywhere I go, I see you right there. In the beauty of nature, you shine all around. For you are everything, and everything is you. Precious Jesus, you're wonderful, wonder you are. Oh, 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 oh.
Mountains, blue skies, and the sea, rainbow, rainbow sunshine,
sunshine,
and the trees,
and the trees.
Jesus,
Jesus, maker of the world.
Everywhere I go, I see you right there. In the beauty of nature, you shine all around. For you are
everything is you. Precious Jesus, you're wonderful, wonder you are. Oh, 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 oh,
You are amazing.
Dear Lord.
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 You are amazing. Jesus, you're amazing.
Dear Lord.
You're amazing.
Dear Lord.
You are amazing.
Dear Lord.
You amaze me.
Dear Lord.
Say you amaze me.
Dear Lord.
Hey, you amaze me.
Dear Lord.
You are amazing.
Dear Lord.
You are amazing.
Dear Lord.
Everywhere I go, I see you right there. In the beauty of nature, you shine on. For you are
everything.
Heavenly.
Everything is you.
Precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Oh, my.
Wonderful, wonderful you are.
Oh, 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 oh. Jesus is amazing. I don't know how best to qualify. You see, if the inhabitants of the world, if they knew, everybody would have subscribed to Jesus. I'm telling you, everybody, there will be nothing like atheists. There will be nothing like Hindu or Buddhist and what have you. Because Jesus is beautiful. Let's start again. Summer, winter, autumn, spring, mountains, blue skies, and the sea, rainbow, rainbow, sunshine,
sunshine,
and the trees,
and the trees.
Jesus, yes, Lord,
maker
of them all.
Yeah, I see you right there in the beauty of nature. Shine on the ground, for you are everything. Everything is you. Precious Jesus, you're wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, 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 oh. some minutes to tidy up, right? But I like you to know that the reality of God, Jesus is just amazing. I don't know. You know, there are times that you lack words before this great being, before the monarch of you.
You are amazing. You are so wonderful. You are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. You are amazing. You are amazing. You are amazing. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are marvelous. Yes. You are powerful. Yes. You are terrible. Yes. You are awesome, Lord. Yes. You are amazing.
Yes. You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, let me just hallelujah. Let me just tidy up, okay? We might extend to like 7:30, okay? So just bear with us. We are going to be through very soon. It's just amazing when you are in God's presence. It's just amazing. This is our life.
You stay.
This is our life.
You call it sunshine.
This is our life.
You are amazing.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
you see, Jesus is just beautiful. It's just like we should love up on Him. Oh, glory to God. Okay. Maybe we are going to continue the meeting on Saturday. But I feel very strong that we should love up on Jesus. Let's just love up on Him. Oh, let God no more see
you. Are amazing, God.
I still have a lot to say, but we are going to continue. So when the Lord hijacked the atmospheres like this, we have to take advantage of
your
it.
Your eyes are full of light, Jesus.
Oh, let God born son, come on.
And He's overwhelming.
In a mundo
pouring the rain.
Yalo sofe andra hakado.
And Your evident presence. It's all over.
Yes, Lord.
Pouring us the rain.
Yes, Lord.
You are amazing. Mm. You amaze me.
Wherever you are, can you love up and begin to fellowship with God?
You are amazing, God. You amaze me. You are amazing, God.
You are amazing, God.
You amaze me. You are amazing.
Amaze
me.
love you forever. We love you forever. We love you forever.
Yeah. The word of life has come to you this evening. Can you begin to get charged by this revelation that has been released? Shaya Barakawa, Elo Sakabarato Kabela Sota, Shabeta Bela 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 I get dominion over the path that I tread. Export. My path, I illuminate with light. My eyes are flooded with light. I refuse to remain in darkness. Light is I get dominion over every we release light into every sphere of man, into the sphere of the word says, the heaven, even the heaven, and the Lord, for the earth, has been given to the children of the earth. We take dominion over the earth. We take dominion over nature. We take dominion over nature. Nature, begin to walk in our favor. That the word of God will be spread abroad. The men are going to come to the knowledge of Christ. The men begin to encounter Christ through nature. nature. Use the speakings of nature. Find the gift of God and the knowledge of Christ. By the speaking of nature, the doors of encounter are open to men. We bring you into life. Every bear that has covered your heart, by the speaking of nature, the bears are torn apart.
Error, You receive access
the spirit of God, he died and lived. Like the children of Isaac, that have understanding of time, they could decode the spirit of men. You receive understanding. Hey, you are the bomb.
Hey, bomb in the wall. Yahweh, you are the bomb in wall. You are the bomb. Bomb in the wall. Yahweh, you are the bomb in wall.
You are the
bomb.
The teaching has not started, alright. I just decided to whet our appetite today, alright. But we trust that on Saturday we will go into deeper waters. We will enter into deeper layers of God. You see, the mandate of dominion is not a tea party. The mandate of dominion is a reality. The mandate of dominion is not a tea party. The mandate of dominion is a reality. So we come with that mandate again on Saturday. Please get better and invite many, and they will be blessed. God bless you, everybody. We love you all. The brethren here, we extend our greetings to you. Every one of you, we love you. God bless you. Shalom. In Jesus' name, amen.